Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our show. Boy, we got a hot one today. I'm here with my co-host, Johnny Hernandez. Johnny, how's it going?
I'm awesome, Dan. How are you today?
Oh, I'm excited about this topic, and I'm excited about maybe getting some feedback on it. But before we get started, if you're listening to our show, we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 347-677-1965. Today's topic is, why are women important to our global evolution? And the comment that the Dalai Lama made saying that a Western woman would be the savior of our world. Wow, that's a big statement, right, Johnny?
You know it, man. It's just I was thinking about this. It's similar to when we had Lei Moon Wah on the show here a few weeks ago. I was like, you know what? We should have thought ahead, and this should have been an hour-long show, because this is a wonderful topic to discuss, especially as we get some of the listeners calling into us, Dan.
So, you know, we talk about leadership. You know, our show is committed to everything that is business and spirituality. When we talk about the evolution of our globe, the evolution of our world, it has been no secret that, as a matter of fact, small businesses, the majority of the growth in small businesses is in women-owned businesses. If we look at the political landscape, we're finding more and more women becoming part of the mainstream of leadership. And maybe, I don't know, Johnny, maybe even we might even have a president who's a woman here soon. We just don't know. And so what does that all mean? I mean, that's really what this is all about today. And why is it important that we take a look at that comment that was made by the Dalai Lama?
You know, Dan, I think it goes on. And, of course, there's statistics, reams of statistics, through all sorts of different channels and venues that validate this type of conversation, this type of thinking. But if I were to throw anything out, I guess I would tell you, this is, I'm doing some reading the last couple of days, I found some interesting data that even I was unaware of. And although it should surprise no one, when you think of your average company, it's absolutely normal for at least 50% of the employee base to be women. And ironically, as you move up what they call the proverbial ladder, when you get to the boardroom, only 3-4% of it's made up of women. And when there's been studies after studies been done that they try to take a look at the correlation between the percentage of women in leadership, and not just mid-level, not upper level, but in the executive levels, even excluding the boardroom, and it's clear in every one of the measurements that these organizations are stronger. And you start asking yourself, well, why is that? There's all sorts of theories out there. I have my own. Now, I would tell you a couple of things selfishly. Two of the greatest female leaders I've ever experienced in my life were my own mother and my grandmother. And, you know, she passed away when she was 102 years old from Mexico.
Wow.
And, yeah, God bless her, right? And her mother lived till she was 102 years to top it off, so I'm hoping those genes are running solid through me as well. But
oh, no, I have to tolerate you that long.
But when I talk about that, I mean, you think about their ability to I'm speaking specifically to my mother and my grandmother, it goes well beyond the multitask and in managing budgets and all of those other things. But I think there's a handful of things. But I guess before we get into any more of that, Dan, I guess I'd like your perception. I mean, as you see this thing unfolding, you do a lot of coaching with a lot of males. You do a lot of coaching with a lot of females. What's your take on it?
Well, interestingly, Johnny, and this, when I tell people this, they're really shocked that 95 to 98% of the clientele that I have worldwide are women. They're women. And people say, how is that? I say, well, I think that women are, in a lot of ways, more progressive in wanting to be better, to better themselves. They're more open. And that's kind of, I think, what the Dalai Lama was saying about the Western woman would be the savior of our world, is that men are typically, let's fight first and then talk about it later when we're all bloody and we can't do anything else. Where women are more open to discussion. They're more heart-centered versus being ego-centered. And I think that a lot of what's happening in our world is that our world is sick and tired of being sick and tired of this knee-jerk reaction that we got to beat ourselves up bloody. There's competition versus cooperation. And in order for us to lead ourselves into the next dimension and lead ourselves into that next wave of beingness in our globe, we must come from a different space. That space happens to be the heart. And the heart is the domain of the woman. I'm not saying, men, that you're not included in that. I'm not saying that some men aren't equally as open from that standpoint, but I would say that the majority are women, which is why I think that he made that comment and why I think I agree with him, because I think that if we get into a place that's more kind, more compassionate, more loving, then we will have or be looking for solutions to solve some of the problems in our world that we're not solving by coming from strictly intellect. Well, we're burning up the lines up today. We have some folks on the call. I'm going to bring someone on, Johnny. Let's see what their opinion about it is. You'll need to introduce yourself when I bring you on. Good afternoon. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, Daniel. It's Stella.
Hi, Stella.
Thank you so much for doing this show today. It's so exciting. Daniel and Johnny, thank you so much for answering my call. I love what you both said. And Daniel, quite honestly, I couldn't agree with you more, because when we look at the most books that are out there on self-development and self-improvement, most of them are purchased by women. And quite honestly, there's so much power that women are just now scratching the surface and really starting to understand and take hold of. For example, if every woman in our country stopped buying cosmetics or stopped purchasing a lot of the consumer products out there, we would certainly make an impact in wanting to make a statement. So there's a lot that we can do as women, and yes, I couldn't agree with you more, because we bring that heart, we bring that spirituality to the table. But the question I have is, how do we empower more women to take on leadership roles? How do we encourage more women to step up? Because we're the ones that bear children. I mean, I love men, don't get me wrong. I absolutely love men. I don't want to sound like I'm bashing men in any way, shape, or form. As you know, I love men. But I also feel very strongly that because we give birth, because we are closer to that sense of making sure that our children do better, that our future generations do better than we did in this lifetime. We're all so invested, both men and women. But I think that the women have this incredible, you know, we talk about the man wielding the sword. But yet the women, the dynamic that the woman brings is the magic of the wand. And not to sound, you know, airy-fairy or anything, but it is the heart. It is all about the earth and the well-being. So how do we do that? How do we bring in more? You know, how do we empower more women to take on leadership roles?
Let me start real quick,
because you said two things, Stella, that just really, really stuck with me, and I want to share something with you. So Zenger and Folkman did a survey a few years back, and they surveyed about 16,000 employees, leaders. Of those 16,000, here's the interesting thing, two-thirds of them were male. And what they were measuring was the effectiveness in women and men. And the importance of this, it goes back to what you were just saying, Estelle, is when they started out, let's just say from the age of 25 up until the age of 40, and somewhere around the age of 20, up until the age of about 26, mid-20s, men were perceived by these 16,000 respondents as being a little more effective than women in their roles. But beginning at the age of 26 up until about the age of 40, that slowly decreased till they were seen as equals. Here's what's interesting about it, though. From the age of approximately 26, or I'm sorry, from the age of 40 up to 60, the gap widened significantly, with the perception being that women were had stronger influence, they were more influential, they were stronger leaders. And that gap didn't start decreasing until they reached 60 years old. Now, here's what's even more interesting, though, is when you start dissecting why that was. It goes back to something Stella said. When you talk about the self-development, the insightful research, all of those things that females tend to probably be a little more engaged in than men. The difference was at 40 years old, they call it this self-development phase, is as we as leaders, I think of myself, you do these 360 surveys and so forth, we ask for feedback. How am I doing? How am I doing? Well, for some reason, at 40 years old, the guys that were involved in the survey, they quit asking, right? And I'm a male, so right, I'm not going to be the last one bashing guys here, but whether we thought we had it all figured out, or we were just too busy, or we were too aggressive and taking too many risks, but the women didn't stop. They continue to ask for feedback on a regular basis, part of their personal self-development, all the way up to, of course, age 60. I want to go back and address the other part of your question, though, and I'm going to shame myself here for a moment, that one of the things that we have to be able to do to enable women to have more influence in our world as a whole is we as males, as partners, we got to step up. And I'll give you a real-world example. So, working in a Fortune 50 company, I worked 24/7. That's just what you did. But here's what was interesting. Here's why I had it so easy. I could work 24/7 because I could fly on airplanes, I could come home, I could be on my cell phone on the way home, I'd get home and I could continue to work. I could go to my home office and work, I could make my calls, I could do my email, I could do all that. Why could I do that? Because I had an amazing wife that was taking care of the children, that was cooking, that was taking care of the house and doing all of those things for me. In order for us to be able to get women in positions, I'm not necessarily saying you have to reverse the roles, but in some cases we need to reverse the roles. The primary breadwinner in some cases should be the female, because I've been around a lot of women that if they were married to me, they should be the ones out making money because they were 10 times brighter than I am.
Hmm. Right on. Well, listen, we have another caller, it looks like, from 815 Chicago. I want to bring that person on and see. I'm going to leave you on, Stella. Just remember you're live.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Bobby Anderson. A friend of mine, Debbie Gachman, and I are listening to your show. Fascinating. Of course, we're both huge fans of the Dalai Lama, and for him to have said something like that, right, about the Western woman, that's amazing. And, you know, I think that beyond the magic wand that Stella referenced, you know, it's the intuitive nature that a female has that really brings out her power. And just the slowing down, and when Johnny was talking about, you know, how could he have done this without the woman at home holding things together, I think a lot of what I feel will be empowering women and what Debbie and I are anxious to get out and teach to women is that setting an intention, and giving that intention attention, and manifesting something, whether it be, you know, what is all the Miss Universe world peace. Mm-hmm. But I think that manifesting that in a way is what will help women become leaders, teaching them how to do that and how to be powerful. So, and Debbie is here with me too. We're so excited you took our call.
Yeah, well, thank you for calling in. I'm going to leave you guys live, so just remember you're live. I think it's beautiful that people are very interested in this topic. And if we go back to the Dalai Lama and we go back to the current place that we are in our world today, empowering women is not just the flavor of the month. It is essential. It is essential to the continuation of our species from the standpoint that we are stepping back into the place where the woman and Mother Nature were honored as birth givers and life providers of sustaining life. the indigenous people, be it the Mayans or the Incas or whoever it may be, Native Americans, honored the mother. They honored the mother. I think we lost that in the current society. We began to lose that, and we're kind of swinging back into that space that is more natural for us. I just hope it's not too late, because we really need to do some quick exponential growth in that area of honoring our sisters, our mothers, our women leaders. And I think it's going to be an uphill battle when we think about, and men, this is by all means not a thing to bash men. It's about really asking the men maybe to step up a little bit and recognize that this is not about competition. Women see this as an opportunity to cooperate with each other. Men look at it as an opportunity to beat them. And it's not
Daniel,
about...
you couldn't be more right. You couldn't be more right. You know, when I was writing my first book in honor of women as a preventative to breast cancer, and I was healing myself at 32 years old, you know, it was interesting to me because I realized that if the population of this world was left to one man and all women, our population would continue to grow. If it was reversed, it would not. So you know, it was so empowering to me to really get in touch with what's important to our society as a whole. And you're absolutely right, honoring. And it was interesting because I studied during that time places in the world where women were and still are completely honored. And in the Cherokee world, for example, in that community, women were absolutely honored well before even the European women were. So there were a lot of things there that women can learn from, because it was so powerful to get in touch with our own sense of who we are as individuals and how we can work together. And the other key point that you made about competition, we are not in competition. This is not about male bashing or, you know, being better than we are, being better than other women even. It's really about collaboration and having compassion for each other. That's what we bring to the table as women, is that level of understanding, that level of spirituality. And if we can lead with that, as well as, of course, our leadership skills, I think that we have a much better chance to attain what the Dalai Lama speaks about.
I couldn't agree with that more.
Johnny, hang on just a moment. The ladies in Chicago, could you turn down the show? I can hear it in the background.
We don't have it on.
Okay, somewhere it's echoing back on. All right, Johnny, go ahead.
Don't you like the sound of your voice, Dan? Can you hear it back there?
Yeah, I can.
No, I want to go back to something she said. So if you step back for a moment and you think about the kind of world that we've become, and it's almost like those who pound the loudest fist, those who can get the most visibility, those who can be the loudest, get the most attention, get the most recognition, et cetera, et cetera. And if you stop for a moment and say, think of an organization, because it's so easy just to visualize things at times. It's easy to use companies. When you go and you look at companies and you talk about these employee surveys, what are the things that are most important to employees? And once you get past the fair pay, the fair hours, and that, and you get to the meat of it, you hear things consistently like, my supervisor listens to me. They act like they genuinely care about me, right?
Right.
And part of that, and we could continue to go on and on and on, but regardless, like it or not, women have traditionally, there are certain men that are exceptions, hands down, they have better listening skills and certainly better attention spans. You know, I know myself, if I get busy at something, I'm working at it, and it's easy for me, this was a 30-day plan for me, I'm 60 days into it, I'm not seeing the results, I'm ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater, where women in leadership tend to be a little more patient. The other thing I would throw out is this. One of the reasons in most organizations, and I think this is important to understand, most organizations have a desire to have women in leadership roles at an executive level. They don't know how to do it. And it's not only do it, they'll recruit a handful of women into their organization, but they lose them and they can't keep them. They keep saying, why is that happening? Why is that happening? And a big reason for this is because they try to force the woman to get the round hole in the square, or the square peg into the round hole, right? They're trying to force a woman to adapt
to a male-led environment.
Yes.
Now, let me
yes.
give you an example. So when you go into these meeting rooms, they're aggressive conversations. It's the fist pounding. It's the loud voices as that. And unfortunately, in order for some women to be heard, they feel like they have to adapt and behave like that when that's not their natural state. Well, who the hell wants to stay in that? If that's not what got you to where you were, not what you made successful, why would you want to change to adapt to an organization or an environment that takes you away from the true version of yourself? And the real art of this is, how do we allow all of us to be who we are? I mean, that's the spirit of diversity, right? And if those
right.
who, and however you lead, you've got to respect that, cherish it, and enjoy it. I mean, Tim Cook from Apple made a statement here not too long ago. He says the real beauty of it, he says, you don't want to stack a whole bunch of just plain white chiclets on top of each other, because then there's nothing diverse about it whatsoever. It's when you start respecting everyone for who they are, where they come from, and what they contribute. That's where you get the real juice for the squeeze here.
That is good stuff. I you know, Johnny, I think, wasn't it two shows ago we were talking? Oh, when Moonwall was on the call, we were talking about how the European countries were mandating diversity on the board, and part of that mandate was obviously women, getting women on the boards. You know, and one of your questions was, Stella, how do we get more women to step into leadership? I think we just got to keep encouraging them. But I want to encourage them to. Johnny said something that's so important. I want to encourage them to be women, not to become men, not to come in and take on the persona of the man because they think that they have to in order to get up into higher positions. I think that they need to be who they are. And like Johnny said, how much fun is it that if you're not being yourself, you know? And so encouraging women to continue to recognize that the comment that the Dalai Lama made was about the strength that they have, that women have, and that our world needs for world peace. And for order, it's funny, I just read something on Facebook that was really interesting about President Obama's diplomacy in Iran or Iraq. Oh my gosh, it said, we actually use diplomacy instead of dropping bombs. Peace may break out. And I think that's a testament. Yeah, it is a beautiful thing, and I think it's a testament to what we need in our world and what has to happen in our world. Ladies, the ladies from Chicago, I'm sorry, Debbie and?
Bobby? Yes, Bobby.
Yeah. Hey, Bobby, did you guys have any comments about that? We're going to start wrapping things up here. I want to make sure. Let people know who you are and how they can find you, too.
Okay, I this is Debbie, and I do have a comment, short comment about that. You guys are right on, and going into the role of into a company, I think that I feel that it's that men go in and they change roles too quickly, because when they go home, they're somebody different. They're coming from the heart. They're living in a different space, and the mindset or the limit or the belief system that they need to be somebody different at work and don't show as much heart. And once that thought gets changed in their minds or in our society, that we can be who we are inside and outside of work, because that's what women do. They've seen themselves through their different roles, and they hold a place for themselves when they're really coming from who they are. And men are leading from what they believe this role represents.
Very,
and a
very
lot
interesting
of
comment.
Debbie and I teach, we're the co-authors of 52 Facets of a Real Woman, Wake Up, Break Out, and Shine. And what our intention is to teach women who might be engulfed in this persona that they have to become, that that alpha female or that controlling different personality at work, that she can, like Debbie said, seamlessly be that congruent with her core values no matter where she is. And we've been blessed with having the tools to teach women to do that. And, the fact that men can follow that example too, because like you had mentioned earlier, this is definitely not about man bashing, because I think they would be in a more peaceful, less turmoiled place if that were the case. But what an exciting topic.
We're running out of time, but I wanted to say this about your book. For those of you that probably don't understand what 52 facets is, there's 52 facets in a diamond. Every single facet is needed for the diamond to be radiant, for the diamond to be able to shine. So I love the topic. I was a jeweler in another life. So when you said that, I said, oh, that's perfect. I love it. So thank you, ladies. Thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jenny.
You bet. All right, Johnny. Well, so what an interesting conversation, eh?
Yeah, you know, I think it's important that we just make sure that everyone understands that this is part one, right?
Oh, you bet. We could have done an hour easily.
Yeah, without a problem. And I know we couldn't take all the callers. And I guess the only thing that I would challenge organizations and folks to understand is this does not start in the boardroom and it doesn't start at the executive level. In order for us to be successful as a society and as organizations across the world, women need to be engaged, begin at the lowest level where it's 50-50, and we need to be very purposeful and appreciate the value that every human being, in this case we're talking about the female, that they bring at every level and up through the organization, and that's when it works the best.
Absolutely. Stella, did you want to say anything in parting? We really appreciate you being on the call.
I'm sorry, are you speaking to me, Daniel?
Yep. I said, did you want to say anything in closing? That's all right.
I just want to say thank you. No, I think you hear my name. I just want to say thank you so much to both of you because, yes, this could have easily been an hour to call. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity. And
you're
of
welcome.
Course, I look forward to the next week.
All right. Have a good day. Well, folks, we've run out of time. Wow, it went by so fast. And, Johnny, I agree that we're going to do this again. We're going to allot for an hour so we can take in more callers, more points of view. And, man, jump up. We want to hear your side of the story, too. I mean, this is what Johnny said is very important, that we will – this is about everybody. We just happen to be talking about women today. So I do want to say, for those of you that love the Dalai Lama, as they were saying earlier – that next year in September, I will be leading a group. I travel around the world and do spiritual tours around the world. Next year is going to be Tibet, Bhutan, and Nepal. So we will do a 14-day trip to Bhutan, Tibet, and Nepal. If you want to know more about that, all you have to do is go to my website. It's not up yet, but it will be in the next 4 weeks or so. And if you're looking for an opportunity to take a look at your business and see how your business can be better ran, I would call Johnny. Johnny's the expert here. Every time he opens that he speaks from a 27-year executive with a very large company in this country. So, Johnny, how can they reach you? Nope. Johnny's not there. All right. Well, folks, we've run out of time. So have a wonderful, beautiful day, and we will catch you next week.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit Daniel's website at danielgutierrez.com. You can also call Johnny and Daniel directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.